Forces is Radio BFBS Scotland with Bruno Mars. That's 24 Karat Magic. 11 minutes after 9, and with me this morning, Kenny Logan, the former Scotland international. How far did you get on Strictly, Kenny?
Week 9. So I'll still be in just now, I think.
How did that compare then to rugby? I mean, you were a winger, so you're clearly good with your feet. You were obviously quite quick, but
I needed to get the beat. The music was a bit of a problem. When I did it,
was it completely out of the blue? Was that
no? Well, what happened was Gabby was having a meeting with the BBC, and I went along to pick her up. And she sat down, she goes, oh, they asked me to do Strictly Come Dancing. I said, you've got to do it. Yeah. You've got to do it. You love dancing. And she went, but they want you to do it too. I went, no chance. No chance. And it was 3 months before the show. They ask you quite early on, then you've got to, I can't say a word to them there because you've got to keep it quiet. And I went home and Gabby said, just do it, you'll be fine. I said, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And almost one of these things, I'll do it. And it will never come. That moment will never come. Then it got closer, and honestly, Gabby's running around and going, oh, I love it. I love dancing. And I'm like, I hate it. I hate it. And it was so horrible. I hated it at the start. And then I started to like it. And then I got really competitive. And then I was training every day. I went 7 weeks without a day off. I trained every day for 4 or 5 hours. I just got slightly obsessed by, I didn't get knocked out. And I was a terrible dancer. And until about week eight, Arlene Phillips going, you can dance. And I was like, really? Can I? and then I really enjoyed it. It was good fun. It's totally taking you out of the comfort zone, because when you play rugby and you make a mistake, it's like your own job. You make a mistake, you know exactly how to fix it. But when you're on the dance floor, you make a mistake, you're like, and you freeze, and your feet are like going this way, and your arms going that way. But I was lucky. I had Ola Jordan. She was brilliant. And a really good bunch of dancers. It was good fun, and I think you watch the show. And everybody goes, "Oh, I'm on a bit of a roller coaster, or I'm on a journey." I was definitely on a journey because I started. And the other thing is, if you think this year, like Ed Balls, for example, I mean, he's a politician, never danced in his life, but he's up against people who have been at dance school, who have, you know, that's the thing now. There's a lot of these actors and actresses and singers. They're all on stage, so you're up against. So Ed Balls actually has done phenomenal to get that far. And I was a bit like that. You know, I was up against dancers and actors who were all done stage school. But you get competitive, and I work really hard. And if you work hard, then you get somewhere. It doesn't look pretty, but...
Well, you've kept the fake tan going, clearly, but are you first on...
Easy. Fake tan.
Are you first on the dance floor when a tune comes on now, or are you...
Actually, no, because I don't really love dancing. I love music, when I did it, I couldn't hear the beat of the music. I was so brain dead on the beat of the music. Yeah. And then suddenly, as I was getting, I started to go. Once I got the beat of the music, I then could start getting the moves and getting into character. But I was at a wedding the other day, and Gavin and I first went to wedding, as soon as this song came on, everyone's got that look at you and think, oh God, they're just waiting for us to get up on the dance floor. And then I was at my cousin, Gabby's cousin's wedding, and we were on the dance floor for 2 hours with the kids, dancing with them. I was shattered at the end of it. Felt like I lost 2 stone. But I'm not on it immediately, but I still like getting up there.
Who's going to win this year? Do you keep an eye on it?
I still watch it, and I know Tess really well, and Claudia. And I know a lot of the people on it. I think Louise Redknapp's, I think she'll win it. She's really good.
Again, that performing background too. As well.
Yeah, so. And she's lovely. You know what I mean? She's a genuine, nice person. And I think she'll win it. I hope she does anyway.
We heard you earlier on speaking to one of the kids who is taking inspiration from your journey. And this journey continues. You're dyslexic. Now, for anyone that doesn't quite understand what that is it something that's curable?
No, you know, you can't cure it. But you can. There's a lot of things out there that can help. And nowadays, you know, the technology is amazing. And when I grew up, you know, and I think the big thing is now teachers recognise it. You know, dyslexia is, you struggle to read, you process differently.
And that's relatively new. What point were you diagnosed? Were you told this is what you have?
I was about 16. I'd left school at the time.
And did it come as a surprise to you?
Well, you think, you know, when you're at school, when I first went to school, you know, 4 or 5, whatever it was, you were like every other kid. And then you got to 6, 7, you're thinking, these kids are doing this, and you're sort of not moving much. And then, for me, I then started to get quite upset inside, because I was, there was a massive gap. They're reading, they're writing, and I'm like struggling, reading and writing. It was good with maths, which was good, but I just struggled and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And it wasn't until I got to high school where the gap was massive. And then suddenly, teachers are going, he's stupid, he's a bit thick. And when you hear a teacher saying that about you, I walked around the corner once and I heard, she goes, Logan's just thick. And I stopped and went, and I was 12 or 13 at the time, and he's stupid, he's a farmer's son, he'll be fine, but he's not very bright. And I was gutted to hear that. And I went and I just thought, right, I've got to get in my school days, I've just got to get through this now. And when I did get told when I was 16, I genuinely thought I'd get antibiotics. Honestly, I was like, 10 days, antibiotics, saw it, and she went, no, it's not like that. And in those days, you're like, you need to do more, you need to try more, you need to do more reading. And actually, it drove me mental, because I couldn't process it. I couldn't see it and put it in here and then put it back out again. So I got very frustrated, and then I was lucky that I had rugby, as a kid, I was good at sport, and that gave me the self-esteem. And I think now, you know, I was speaking at a school a couple of months ago and they said to me, what would you do if you were a teacher? What do you think a teacher's job is? And I said, I think a teacher's job is to, when a kid leaves school, he should have amazing self-esteem and feel good about himself. And you should find the star in him and celebrate it. And if you can't do that and the kid leaves bad self-esteem and doesn't feel good about himself, you haven't done your job. Because, you know, getting your O-levels and all these things, that's brilliant. But you can't do that unless you've got good self-esteem and feel good about yourself. Now, I look at my school days. My school days weren't enjoyable. You know, I used to cry going to school. As I got closer to the school, I could feel my stomach in knots. And as I walked home, it disappeared. And it was just like up and down every day. And kids shouldn't feel like that. We should be, you know, understanding them and actually giving them the best opportunity. When they leave school, they're feeling good about themselves. They may have not loads of academic success, but their self-esteem is good, and they're like, I can take on the world because I feel good about myself. And that's what I want to try and get across.
You're in a pretty good place now. You know, anyone that looks from the outside.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't learn to read until I was 30 years old. And actually, Gabby was the one that made me do something about it, because up until then, nobody knew I couldn't read. You know, I was with Scott Hastings last night, and he was going, he said, I'm really proud of you how well you've, you know, what you've done for yourself.
That must have been exhausting as well. Were you hiding the fact that you couldn't read?
Yeah, I used to, Scotland training sessions, you'd get a piece of paper, a book of plays, and I'd be looking at the diagrams, where 9 goes, where 11 goes, where 10 goes. And I would say, well, this is not working out right, because the diagram's not right. And Scott would go, just read it. And I'm like, all right. And I'd try and read it. So then when I did training, I used to go, I'm just stretching. So I get somebody else to go in my position. I'd watch them do the moves. Then I go, all right, I'm back in the game again. But I was only doing that because I was too scared. I wasn't brave. And a lot of things now, you know, talking to earlier, he's brave coming on the radio and talking about his dyslexia. And I wasn't brave until I was 28. And that's the great thing now, that there's so many kids and parents and teachers understand it, but it still needs as much awareness as it, because awareness is important for the teachers to understand the child.